Previously on Those Were the Days.
At that prime time, Steven's watching TV.
Watching this week was a revelation.
No idea what was going on in any of the episodes.
This is a load-bearing coat rack for this shot.
It took me two tries to watch this episode because the first one I clicked on, it didn't play.
You know, Steven couldn't be here tonight. My name's Snakes.
But he had a hat.
Is like, we're not going to pay very well.
What?
Well, I mean, Lou Pearlman kind of did that at his little, like, boy band ranch.
Like, these are the only reasons I know anything.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
And welcome into Those Were the Days. It's Those Were the Days, the show where we talk about classic television through a modern lens, but with nostalgic eyes. We are wrapping up Musical March while being a week into April, but that's fine. Don't worry about that. But it is Musical March, and we are wrapping things up with a little show. So before we can talk about that, though, I need some help talking about this. All right. I've got a master of geography, Audie.
Okay. Why is it so good, so difficult to find good lady type stuntmen to do these jobs? Hi, yes. We wanted to hire you as a stunt person for the next episode. It's a musical episode, but we've got some exciting bits. Yes, I've got a list right here of everything that we need you to do. Yeah, you'll be tied by your ankles from a lasso and dragged by a horse. It's going to be great. You'll be dragged through all kinds of stuff. Grass, gravel, roads, some fire. I think that'll be some kind of special effects. And a river stream. Right? Exciting. Then you'll wake up, well, the actress, and then as her, you'll go over a cliff into some water. How does that sound? Oh, anything else? Let's see. I guess you'll get pulled underwater nude for a bit. What's that? Yes. Yes, nude. Completely naked. Top and bottom. Front. Yes. It'll be fine. Your hair will cover any... hello? Hello? Sheesh, that's the third one today. Every time I get to the naked part.
We also have an Amazon warrior, Steven.
Perfect.
And from the land of Illusia, it's Amy.
In 2019, I had pneumonia. I had just had my wisdom teeth out about a month before, and so I wound up on two courses of antibiotics in order to fight the pneumonia. So I was sleeping on the couch, and at about 3 a.m. with my fever somewhere in the 102 range, I woke up and yelled at the television that I wanted to watch The Bear Show. That experience is not unlike watching this episode.
Oh, fantastic. So if you haven't figured it out by now, the show that we watched this week to end Musical March was Xena, Warrior Princess, specifically season 3, episode 12, The Bittersweet, which was the first of a couple of musical episodes that they did for this show. So before I dive too much into it, I want to know any history any of y'all had with Xena, Warrior Princess. I'm going to start with Steven.
It's hard to miss Xena in the mid to late 90s. Like, it's just the thing. Everybody talked about it. I saw commercials all the time. I knew what it was. We weren't a family that watched, you know, period fantasy like Xena. We were watching Walker, Texas Ranger probably at the time that Xena was airing. So I just missed it. It wasn't a part of my life, but I was very familiar with it because Entertainment Tonight loved talking about Lucy Lawless all the time. I don't know why. I think it's just because she was tough and we didn't have tough women at the time. Like, it had been since Wonder Woman, you know, we'd probably had like that archetype. True. So it was, you know, I was very aware. I just never watched it. This was a fun watch. Thanks for bringing it my way, Travis.
Yeah. Audie, how about you?
Okay, so I had never actually watched a full episode of Xena, but I was well aware of it. Now, this may be stepping on your toes about where the origin comes from, but I know Xena comes from Hercules.
Mm-hmm. I watched Hercules. Hercules was a series that came from TV movies from Universal called the Action Pack. And I remember watching those because there was another of those series of movies to TV show that I watched called Vanishing Sun, and I was all about that frickin' series. If you don't know what it's about, it's kind of a renegade meets kung fu. And if you know those two references, you're a very cool person.
All right, yeah. I've never seen that show, but I know those references, so I got an idea of what it was. Amy, how about you? What history do you have with Xena?
My history with Xena mostly revolves around Lucy Lawless handing Kevin Sorbo his ass on Twitter. Like, that's about that's about the extent of it.
Amen.
about as far as we go. I mean, I'm like, I'm aware in a cultural sort of way,
sure.
But
mm-hmm.
This was the first episode I ever watched. A heck of a choice.
Again, so, amen.
Yeah. So much like the three of you, I knew of Xena. I know I saw at least one of the Hercules TV movies, I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure, and maybe an episode here or there. But I never watched episodes of Xena Warrior Princess, but you couldn't escape it. Like, it just existed.
And wait, Travis, you haven't seen?
I know. but I knew of it. And so when we started talking about, well, let's do musical episodes, I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? So I start looking around, and I'm thinking, oh, the Monkees would be great, but then Amy talks about doing the Monkees. Okay, won't do the Monkees. And I'm thinking about, and then I thought, oh, there was that Buffy episode, Once More with Feeling, that's a musical episode. And I looked, like, that would fit, but then I looked a little deeper, and I saw this one, and I thought, no, this is a perfect opportunity, because, as we'll get into, this actually influenced a lot of that. So Xena Warrior Princess spun off of Hercules, the Legendary Journeys. And it ran from 1995 until 2001, comprising 134 episodes. It actually was a bigger ratings and longer lasting series than Hercules, than the series that it spun out of.
See, she was already giving it to Kevin Sorbo.
She was, even back then.
That doesn't shock me either, because I remember Xena, but I thought Hercules spun off of Xena. I didn't remember the way that it happened.
Well, what's cool is this actually could have fit in several categories we've talked about doing. We've talked in the past about doing backdoor pilots, which is the process mm-hmm. of, you know, introducing a character in one series and letting that be your pilot. They did that. There was a 3-episode arc in Hercules that introduced Xena, and then they spun the series out of that, or a spinoff, just a straight spinoff. But this was a lot more fun of an episode, I think, to start with.
All
of us to have our first one. So, 95 to 2001, 134 episodes, created by Bob Tappert and R.J. Stewart and Sam Raimi. Mm-hmm. Sam Raimi was involved in the creation and production of this. We saw his brother in here, we'll talk about. It was an American production. Bob Tappert and R.J. Stewart kind of came up with it, the idea of it, and but they shot everything in New Zealand. So it was all shot in New mm-hmm. Zealand, and it was mostly a New Zealand cast. It does star, so Lucy Lawless ended up getting cast as Xena, she was kind of a warlord. And from what I understand, having not watched much of the show, she did a lot of not great stuff in her past, and now she's trying to atone for all of that by defending the weak and using her skills for that. So her and her friend, Gabrielle, they're basically the two main characters, and then it's just sort of an interchanging roaming cast of people. And a lot of it was just standalone episodes. They didn't have a lot of, like, overarching story arcs. This was apparently one of the few episodes that even brought stuff from previous episodes into it. Because when this one started off, we got a previously on Xena.
We sure did. We got a lot. Yeah. Like, previously on the last 8 seasons of Xena.
I was going to say, the previously on didn't help at all.
I was not helped by the previous.
It was just like, here's an information dump.
No.
What?
Yeah.
Like, what? We did get some. We got some Don LaFontaine, though.
Oh, boy, did we.
You guys caught that.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I freaking love Don LaFontaine. So when he's yeah. doing the opening narration for this series, I was like, oh, yes. Yeah, I feel like we could have gotten a lot more out of this episode if we had any history whatsoever with Xena. There's a lot of Amy, I'm gonna steal something from you, which is you sort of jumping in on this episode, you feel like a college freshman walking into the wrong lecture.
Yeah.
You sit down and you just like everything's going on around you. You're like, I don't know what's happening, but it's really cool. So you just sort of get swept up by it. And then you're like, I don't know what
I need to transfer out of this. I'm going to fail. I can't. This is not where I parked my car.
So this particular episode, season 3, episode 12, The Bittersweet, they decided to make a musical episode. This is, by a lot of accounts, the first sort of non-musical series to do a musical episode. So... Once More with Feeling, like this episode crawled so that that could walk, so that other shows could do that. And I've seen it in Buffy. I've seen it in The Flash, in Supergirl on the CW. They did musical episodes. It kind of became a thing, even if your show wasn't based around music. And a lot of it came from this. They just had an idea. Hey, let's just do a Broadway-style musical. And like, why not? Wild. Okay, yeah. Sure. Why? And I mean,
half the actors come from musical backgrounds anyways. Like, you know, a lot of them are musical nuts getting into acting in this way or that. So,
yeah. And I didn't mention Gabrielle is played by Renee O'Connor. Those were your two leads, Lucy Lawless, Renee O'Connor. And I did send you guys a video. I don't know if any of you got a chance to watch it, but if you can, there's a video on YouTube of Lucy and Renee watching this episode. And it's great. It's great to just see them sitting there like years after the fact, looking back on it. Because
oh, I bet.
Like some of it they don't even remember doing. Some of it isn't even them. Like they talked about, Audie, you brought up in your intro, the stunt people. First of all, that opening fight. So, all right. The plot of this episode is basically in a previous episode. I'll try to make this as succinct as I can. So
skip forward 10 minutes if you're not interested.
Right. So Xena finds out she has a son. Gabrielle has a daughter. Gabrielle's daughter is evil, I guess, or a conduit for evil, and kills Xena's son. So now Xena blames Gabrielle for that. Gabrielle is upset with Xena over whatever happened. And Callisto, who is an enemy of some kind, is basically pitting the two of them against each other.
Sure.
That's about as much as I could figure out. Maybe wrong on that. If you're a Xena Warrior Princess fan, you can let me know how badly I butchered that. But that's basically where we are. So Gabrielle is in some sort of like cleansing ritual hut. And I will say, when I first started this episode for the first time, I wasn't expecting like fully naked right at the beginning of the show.
All the time. Yeah.
There's a lot of naked in this, which... Just I didn't anticipate that for some reason because it was a cable TV show, I guess. But
there's lots of implied nudity. We're not talking this is Game of Thrones. Right. If this was HBO today, it would have been actual nudity all day. But this was the 90s.
This is syndication.
Showing your upper
going
thigh was
all
enough.
The way up to the line. Like
there's that line. I'm touching it. I'm not touching it. I'm touching it. I'm not touching it.
So Gabrielle's in some kind of a cleansing hut going, whatever's going on. And Xena just shows up at the village and just beats the breaks off all the Amazons. Just comes in and just owns house.
Backflips off her horse.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
That was so good. Yeah. I rewound it 3 times.
She put some distance on her and that horse, though. Like, I mean, she jumped really far.
Yeah,
she
really far impressive. Off that horse.
And then Joxer is trying to get Gabrielle out of there. Joxer, played by Ted Raimi, which I was kind of glad. I was glad that this was an episode with Ted Raimi in it.
We don't get a lot of crossover stuff on our podcast. This is the second time we've seen him.
It is. We've seen Ted Raimi a couple times.
Where was the other time?
He was in Sequest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Which
would have been around this time, maybe a couple years earlier.
Yeah,
but he plays He plays Joxer in this. He was in about 40-something, 43 episodes. So he was one of the more prominent guest stars they had. So he's trying to get Gabrielle out of there, and Xena basically stops them, knocks him out, and then gets Gabrielle whipped around the ankles and ties her to a horse and drags her for ever.
Yeah. Wow. That girl's dead. I don't know
so
what
dead. Mm-hmm.
world they're living in, but she's mega dead, like dead four times.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
let me take you through this obstacle. Let me take you through this obstacle.
She hit a big rock at one point and went flying at the camera. Girl is the deadest.
And that rock or tree stump or whatever it was that she hit was such great, like, late 90s CGI. It was
of the special effects.
The rock, yeah.
The rock, and then getting up to where we're coming to next, I was just like, oh my gosh.
Well, and not only that, but
really hard.
It was very obviously a stunt man getting dragged behind that horse. And in some of those wide shots, you could see, because, like, the stunt guy was considerably more well-built than Grenade. Like, just big, bulky arms getting dragged around.
It was a different time. I feel like we don't have nearly as many.
The fight sequence before that, when Xena first shows up, all that work with the Amazons and the stunt work they were doing, that was really good.
That was cool.
They mentioned that in the video I was watching. Lucy Lawless was like, oh, the stunt ladies, the stunt women were so good in this. It's like, and she kept saying, like, it's harder to be, especially at this point, a stunt woman, because they're on this show wearing, you know, leather skirts and crop tops. She's like, you can't hide padding anywhere because you're barely wearing anything, and they got to do these flips and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but Xena takes her to, like, the edge of a cliff and picks her up to throw her over the cliff. And I did
that was so good.
That was my other favorite, like, special effect, like seeing the quote unquote cliff that she was at and the quote unquote waterfall that was coming out of the cliffs. from somewhere. Okay.
So apparently they were at an actual cliff, because Renee O'Connor talked about being scared out of her mind for that scene. That they were at a cliff. Now, how close they got to it, I don't know. But the waterfall was very poorly CG'd in there.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. And I like her.
It probably looked great then.
It was probably beautiful. And we probably remember it looking awesome. It's just now, with our mature eyes, we're like, what is happening? I just liked how when she kicked Xena in the face, her foot came from a really wild angle. Like, I don't know what.
Yeah, that's another part I had to rewind. I was like, hang on, what is happening? All
these physics don't look like they work right. Where'd that foot come from?
Well, I mean, given how she was dragged, her leg may not be going in the correct direction anymore.
That's a good point.
Good point,
She's got three extra knees now.
So before Xena can throw her over the edge, they have a little tussle, and then they fall over the edge. They fall into the water. And we get very poetic words followed by they end up naked somewhere, and it's the land of Illusia. And music, they just start singing.
They get naked and wake up at a rainforest cafe. That's all I can think of whenever I saw this.
A rainforest cafe with showbiz pizza animals.
Yes. Like the inside of a rainforest cafe.
Oh, God.
I also love
Chuck E. Cheese.
I miss this land in Disney. I didn't get to this part of the park.
It looks really weird.
And I love the come straight out of the water, and then you have perfectly dry, like blow dried hair, and all of that. That was great. Like, showing your TV budget, because those were clearly shot on completely different days.
Well, we talked about Xena jumping off her horse when Gabrielle just jumps out of the freaking water. I was like, whoa, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's put all those stunt women to use.
So they're in the land of Illusia. And then we get songs, and just all sorts of songs. We go straight Broadway musical, almost opera. Like, it's very very close to that. There's very little spoken dialogue throughout most of the rest of this episode. So the music for the entire series was done by Joseph LaDuca, and he did this along with a lyricist named Dennis Spiegel, who I think was from Broadway. and they did all the songs for this. And they ended up getting some awards for it. They got nominated for Emmy Awards for the music in this. And I got to say, it's really good. Like, I was pretty impressed by the music.
Yeah, it was
in
better. It's better than I expected it to be.
Especially with a TV show that's, you know, cranking out however many episodes in however little amount of time. The fact that they got this made.
Right. Because, Audie, you and I have talked about, like, syndicated television production schedules when we've talked Highlander on the other show.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing, like, three episodes at once, where it's like an episode is in pre-production, an episode is shooting, and an episode is in post-production. And they're churning them out like every week or two, basically. They're going through that cycle. And so they had to write all these songs. They had to rehearse them. They had to rehearse dances, which the dancing between Ares and Lucy, Ares and Xena.
That was real good.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Smith played Ares in this series.
Kevin Smith. Not
right. Yeah. I was very disappointed.
Because when that name came up in the credits, I was like, what?
What I did, and then
beep,
I was
beep,
like,
IMDb. Oh, okay.
So yeah, I was like, that's fine. Not the same guy.
And sadly, he passed away in 2001 from an onset accident.
Ooh.
Of some kind. Or 2002, I guess it was. He was in his late 30s.
Mm.
But he was very nervous about his scene because Lucy Lawless had tweaked her knee, and so she couldn't rehearse the dancing. And he was rehearsing with a dance partner who was about a foot shorter than Lucy Lawless.
Oh no.
And but she healed up in time and they were able to do it, and it turned out great. Like, I think it looked amazing.
I'm a sucker for a good tango.
Yeah,
also that dress,
his beard looked
wearing
pretty great too.
Oh yeah, oh that beard. Listen, you noticed fantastic
that, yeah, it was a chin strap that took a walk.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like wearing a surgical mask of hair, like right here. It was a really fascinating look.
So they basically, after this, it is Xena and Gabrielle have to, they go through like this whole thing of they're at odds, but then they have to work together to get out of this place. It's all based around love and hatred and kind of just reconnecting, I guess, is basically what's going on. That's kind of it for plot. There's not a lot of plot to discuss. It's just the music and the songs were great. The music, like the whole production of it, I found myself just sitting back and enjoying, kind of chuckling at certain parts and being like, that's just, you know, it's super clever. No idea what was going on for half of it. Didn't really care.
Mm-hmm. No. Didn't really care. I was really trying to pick out the voices of the singers, because like, I know that wasn't Ted Raimi's voice. Like, I'm pretty sure
it was.
That was
it. That was Ted Raimi.
That was Ted Raimi. Was,
yeah. So Ted Raimi sung his own part. Kevin Smith did his singing as Ares. He's got a gorgeous voice.
Yeah. So I figured he had to have been a different voice because it sounded like Aladdin. Like it almost,
it
was, if you were to put his
very
voice,
Disney. It really did.
So
like Hunchback of Notre Dame level. You know, we're gonna put in some stuff that's a little shaped like a little intense.
So
yeah.
They did swap out some of them. Lucy Lawless also did her own singing. So her, Kevin Smith, Ted Raimi, they sung their own. Renee O'Connor did not. They had a Broadway trained Susan Wood did the parts that would have been Gabrielle.
And Renee O'Connor's thank the Lord.
Probably. But they also brought in like a lot of background singers and dancers for all the
because
sequences
there were a lot that of CGI animals that were singing.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah.
It was a lot. There was a lot like that when they first get there at Lucy Lawless and the Wheel of Fate. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? What in the fever dream is happening right now?
And so, like,
it was wild.
It is wild, but also I appreciate that because it gives you, it does not hold back. This is what you're getting. Sit back and enjoy. Like,
you're either gonna
buy into it at that point or you won't. But you don't have to wait long to figure out if this is an episode for you or not. Like, it's as bonkers as it is.
This is one of those episodes where I would have loved to have sit down in the production meeting of figuring this one out. Like, you know, we're a series where we have warrior lady beating up people, and then, oh, now we're going to sing, and we're going to have animals singing, and
I mean,
everybody's singing.
To their credit, at least they were, like, in another realm.
Mm-hmm, right.
And you go, like, oh, if there are literal gods, so you can go, okay, all right, we're not going to bring this home.
And that was one of the things that I did read about this show, was that it didn't tie itself too much to any one sort of thing. So, like, Xena, Hercules is born out of the Greek mythology, and then Xena was a spinoff of that, and it's sort of set in a fantasy version of sort of ancient Greece, but, like, they would pull from everything. There were Norse, there were African, Eastern, you know, all sorts of mythologies and deities and whatnot. They didn't really stick to one.
American gods energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you're right. Like, going to the land of Illusia gives them poetic license to just have fun. And
it's like a copy that became a Warshak test.
Kind of, yeah. And, like, the show never took itself too seriously, I'm pretty sure. Obviously, if you're doing an episode like this, you can't. But it was, what I remember clips-wise that I had seen of Xena was, like, it was this show, but it also, like, was, you know, winking at the camera, a little tongue-in-cheek. Mm-hmm. A little, like, they would work in sort of modern-ish references and stuff, or things of that nature. So it kind of worked. It was just kind of fun to see going through all of this and having these, like, Broadway production style musical numbers, and all of the dancing, all of the choreography. And then you realize, or maybe you don't, and you're like me and you had to read it, all the costuming and the theming is based around the tarot deck.
Mm-hmm.
So
really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Amy, you probably are the one most knowledgeable in the tarot of the four of us.
So I'm not gonna lie. I didn't notice at the time until I've just pulled up the IMDb plot keywords for this episode, which I have been waiting for a hold to, like, insert this information in, because it's pretty good.
Okay.
So there are six of them. Female nudity.
Okay.
Julius Caesar character.
Mm-hmm.
Dragged behind a horse. Woman dragged behind a horse, tarot, and musical episode. It's not helpful, IMDb. None of this is, other than dragged behind horse.
Yeah,
that one
I want
yes.
More of that.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Female nudity, sure. Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
What the, I mean, like, the Wheel of Fate, like, that's a thing. I didn't entirely catch it at all. Like, I'm sure if I went back and get it, I mean, because the four suits are cups, wands, pentacles, and swords.
Yeah. So apparently it was the Rider weight deck is what they were following, and you had things like Callisto, who is the first person that that Xena meets in Illusia. She's the one that kisses Xena and then has the first song. She's dressed as the Fool.
Yeah.
Xena's the High Priestess. And then you have the Wheel. You have the Hanged Man. Joxer is the Hanged Man and the Hermit. Joxer. I keep saying Joxter. It's Joxer. Gabrielle dresses as, has costumes of the Empress. Xena at one point is dressed as Death. They're in the tower. So they.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of like working that in. I think that's a nice, like, extra layer of something that when I read about that, I'm like, that's clever. Like, you've got your...
Like, how many people would notice, but you did the work anyway.
Right. Sure.
It's one of those things where, like, we don't notice it on the surface, but somebody who knows and understands that season is like, oh, wow, y'all did, that's impressive, you know?
It's for that person to go and be like, look at that. Mm-hmm. These guys, they worked hard. It's like when someone uses actual computer dialogue that makes sense in a sitcom or something. You're
like
hang
on,
just
what?
Happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. By the way, did you catch the cameo of somebody we all recognize in here? He's got a blink and you miss it.
Carl Urban.
There you go.
Babyface.
Baby Carl Urban.
Baby Carl Urban.
That's the, by the way, that's the Julius Caesar that was mentioned in the plot keywords. He played Julius Caesar in this series. So he's literally in one shot without a speaking part, which is crazy to think of Carl Urban as that ever. But that was, you know, this was 1998. He wasn't, nobody knew who he was yet. He was just some New Zealand actor.
I don't know who he is right now.
We're waiting to be discovered.
Okay, I looked at his IMDb. I do kind of know who he is. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Also, some other actors that were in this, by the way, Bruce Campbell did appear in nine episodes.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the show wouldn't exist if he didn't. Like,
right.
There's Raimi. You have to have him.
Right.
You must.
Yeah, Raimi's involved.
Well, yeah.
Bruce is going to be involved somewhere.
Rob Tapert was part of all of Sam Raimi's stuff, too. Like, I mean, they were a production crew, so they all knew each other. Mm-hmm. It was probably a simple call. Hey, Bruce, you got a minute? You want to come to New Zealand? And he was probably shooting Briscoe County Jr. during some of this show. Like, I remember that came out way back. I mean, only made it one season, but still, he's probably around.
Well, and it's the same character he played in Hercules. So he would just, like, show up for a few episodes of Hercules. Yeah. He did the same character here. The other name that I saw in the list that I recognized was Martin Sokas, who was in, like, a dozen episodes or so. He's an actor. You've seen him in things. He was in The Lord of the Rings, but he's also in some other things.
I mean, every citizen of New Zealand was in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, every one of them.
Like, all
that's
of
true.
Them.
That's very true. But no, he had like an actual speaking part.
Sure.
But he's been in some other movies and television series as well. You'd recognize him if you saw him, type of person. But yeah, this is a fun episode. Audie, I'm going to start with you. Did you have a song in particular from this that kind of stood out to you more than any of the others? Or were they all sort of on the same level?
They were all kind of on the same level. The one note that I've made that I want to go back to is when, Xena's with Ares and all the killer kind of people, and then Gabrielle's over here, and then when they meet, she immediately just goes for her and kills her, and that's when she kills her in this episode. And I'm like, what? Dang it. And then they reference it, and it's like, you killed me. And Xena's like, I didn't kill you. I killed an illusion. And Gabrielle's like, and that's better how?
It's a fair point.
Steven, how about you? Did any song stick out to you more than others?
Not in particular. I think it was just more of those moments of me trying to figure out whose voice was whose, and swearing up and down that guy was singing A Whole New World. Not really. And to be fair, we're shooting this episode of our show 2 weeks after I watched it, so I didn't refresh myself very well, and my notes are unclear. I don't know. I clearly just enjoyed the music. I didn't really think too hard about it.
That's fair. Amy, how about you? Anything stand out?
No, it was definitely the tango with Xena and Ares. That was real good. I'm a sucker for that sort of thing anyway.
It was really good. That was the good song Melt Into Me, performed by Kevin Smith. And
But not that one.
Honestly, for me, the song that stood out the most was the War and Peace one that you mentioned, Audie. Because I love a song that is like two competing kind of stories being told at the same time in that Broadway
and
style.
And that one, I think that one was the most Disney.
Like, oh, very much
so. We get
so.
That yeah. all the, like, Disney films love that.
Mm-hmm. And love it also that. Had, like, it just had really fun moments, like when Ares starts singing and all the guys in the background are doing the Xena and, like, coming out from behind their shields to do that. And you had everybody in the village with Gabrielle, including her sister. And what's great is, again, that video of Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor, when they get to that song, they brought the actor back that played Gabrielle's sister in the series earlier on. They bring her back for this episode, and both of them are like, oh, she's off key horribly, but in like the perfect way. Because she was like the one who couldn't sing, but they left her voice in, and it just, they're like, it's terrible, but also great. And I just, I couldn't help but laugh at that. But that whole song for me was kind of my favorite one. That and the Ballad of Joxer the Mighty. because Joxer had his own theme song.
Yeah.
And apparently would sing it. Like, that was a, I was reading about it. That was a thing throughout the series. Joxer would have and sing his own theme song that he had from, like, when he was a kid. So, and it's Ted Raimi. I mean, come on.
Right.
It's wonderful.
I like that guy.
I do too. But that's kind of all there is to say about, like, but this also kicked off or started the trend of a non-musical show doing a musical episode. And we kind of owe a lot to Xena for trying that in the first place. Because I can't imagine that that was an easy decision to make of, like, do we try that? I mean, granted, syndicated show, you have a little more flexibility. You're probably a little...
You got to fill those episodes, baby. Put something in.
We got to fill those episodes.
Still, and like, only the third season. Like, we're not that far into this show. And we're like, let's try this. That's impressive. Yeah.
It is a little ballsy to do that drastic of a change to your show's format less than 60 episodes into your run.
Mm-hmm.
I got to kind of give them a little bit of credit for that. But because of that, we got, you know, some really good musicals. Not they did more. They did, I think, one or two more musical episodes of Xena, but then your Buffy's and all that type of stuff and shows that did it. So we kind of, we owe a lot to Xena for taking the first step, for being the first one to try it, which I think was cool. And again, I think this was really well done, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say I've come off in the last week. Me and my wife had the itch to watch Hamilton again, so we watched that. The boys have been singing The Greatest Showman in the car nonstop for weeks now. And between the two of those and then watching this, I was like, the music and stuff was not the thing that hung me up. The having no idea what was actually happening hung me up. But the music stuff was so well done. And again, music done for a syndicated show for one episode, all of that produced and done as well as they did. Bravo.
Yeah, and to get, you know, half of them that were cast members doing the singing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they've got that background, but, like, it's still not easy to do that. And for them to do it on that kind of production schedule is pretty impressive. So
yeah.
I enjoyed that quite a bit. So now the question is, we'll start with Amy. Would you watch more Xena Warrior Princess?
I mean, I probably would. That's pretty good. I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, it's Lucy Lawless. She's terrific. Like, that's enough. You know what I mean? And then she backflipped off that horse. And apparently that's a thing I found out. She backflips off everything. So, you know, I mean, I'm kind of in. Like, I could use a good, you know, I could use a good soap opera-y, action-y thing, you know?
Yeah, it feels
There's
exactly.
There's no more Game of Thrones. I need, you know, I need something.
Yeah, it feels exactly like that. It's a soap opera type show. It's very melodramatic, but it's also like the perfect throw it on and do other stuff while it's playing and just kind of half, you know, you can even half pay attention to it and still enjoy it. Steven, how about you? Would you watch any more Xena?
If I had a handful of friends and a good bottle of spirits, I could see myself having a good time with Xena, but it's kind of outside my wheelhouse. Like, I don't know that I'm in the mid-budget fantasy genre does not really jive with the kind of things that I normally sit down and watch. It's probably the reason we didn't watch it when I was a kid. It just was just outside the lines for me. Meanwhile, Walker, Texas Ranger was just right in the pocket. I don't know.
That's your mid-budget crime procedural, right?
So sure, yeah.
You take the fantasy element out of it, and you're good.
Somehow had like, I don't know. I think I would, it would take some convincing for me to really just go, I would like to watch Xena today.
Fair.
But I did enjoy the episode. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed watching it. I just don't know that it's something I will revisit.
That's perfectly fair. Audie, how about you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm in kind of the same boat as Steven. It's one of those things where, like, I've seen it. Okay, I'm good. Like, and it's one of those things where it's one of those shows where, like, I don't knock anybody who has watched it or will watch it or anything. Like, it's good stuff. It's just not something I'm going to... It's with so much of this, it's just like I have so little time to watch anything
This is just one of those where, like, it's good, but I do not want to spend my time on this particular show. That's all.
I think, too, us coming to it at this point in our lives makes a big difference, too.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
And I can 100% see how if you grew up, like, if you saw this when you were young, that you would latch onto it, and it could become that kind of comfort food type show of, like, and, you know, this was a show that came about. Steven, you brought it up earlier, but we didn't have, like, a show with a strong woman lead like this for a long time.
Right. And literally and, strong lead.
Yeah, like physically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, like, that was a big thing for this show. And there's a lot of subtext to a lot of things with Xena and Gabrielle especially and their relationship that got explored in this series that wasn't going on television at the time. So that was also really cool. And I'm glad that this exists.
And that whole thing continues to be embraced by the fans. And both Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor have, with open arms, been like, yeah, go for it. Take all the lessons in that direction that you want. We are here for you and with you and open to you. And it's just like, it's really cool to see them as actresses be open to that and not, you know, shudder at it instead. They fully embrace it.
Yeah. And it's a show I would throw on and have, like, when I'm working on a project or something and I need it. I don't have the connection to it that I have with something like, say, a Star Trek The Next Generation, which is another show I would do that with. But if this were an option, I'd throw it on there and I'd have it as something to watch because I think this is the perfect sort of that show. I've got a project to work on. I need something to keep me occupied. I don't feel like listening to any music right now. I'll throw on Xena and see what's going on there. So that's kind of how I feel about it, too. But I don't have that connection to it, so I'm not, like, rushing out to watch it either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Now, we got feedback, right?
We did.
Oh, let me find
a couple places. Well, I'll go ahead and share one that I got.
Yeah.
One of my few first random encounter on Blue Sky, the Blue Ski app. Somebody responded to my artwork today and was like, so many things from my childhood have been turned into musicals. I would love to see Xena get the treatment. She thought, this is Kyla Tilly, apparently singer-songwriter from Canada. She thought we were talking about an actual musical, like full musical. I was like, nah, it's just a musical episode of the TV series. A standalone full production type musical? Sadly, no, but...
Also, thanks for the follow to Kyla Tilly, who followed our channel.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So she was like, I had no idea they did a musical episode. I'll have to track that down. So,
yeah.
That'll be cool.
We also got on Twitter, Skeezix says, ah, yes. The joy of non-musical TV show, finding a way to do a musical episode. I remember this episode of Xena. For some reason, Joxer the Mighty, Master of Geography, has been stuck in my head for 25 years. That's it. Just those two short lines. I know there was a Hercules musical episode with the Lilas actor in, or Iolas actor in drag as a character named Madam Twinkie, who was a dance instructor. As a young teenager, Xena was a Saturday staple in my living room. She was a badass. She had a cute sidekick, had no chill for stupid boys, plus throw in the mythology, and I was hooked. I've enjoyed Musical March and can't wait to find out what the new theme is. Well, thank you, Skeezix.
I got one feedback for you as well. Ooh, I had told Smashy that we were doing Xena, and she was like, ah! Well, I sent her Audie's art, for one thing.
Which is the amazing. Art was so good.
So good.
So good.
As soon as I thought of that, I was like...
I was tickled. Perfect.
It was so perfect. So she sent me her typical text message, which begins with "blah," and she said, "I love that show so hard. It was the right amount of drama and camp." So that was her. She thought it was amazing.
Excellent. That's Xena Warrior Princess, the musical episode, The Bittersweet, closing out Musical March, partway into April, right. And that's fine.
It's okay.
That's fine. Now we have a new category coming up, and we're going to be doing a month worth of episodes on that. So, Audie, what are we doing, and where are you taking us?
All right, so we even though we had a extra week off planned, we forgot to do a whole, you know, poll
we
or
said
anything.
Hey, we need to do a poll, and that's as far as we got.
Yeah.
So we just
picked one.
Awesome, well, we just picked one out of the hat. It was actually I think the one that was like got one extra vote on the poll previously. So like technically it was the next one. So we are going to start doing a series on the worst episodes of the best of TV.
Yeah.
When I was looking for something, I was like, okay, I just started with the best. That's what I was looking for.
So
we're just going to go for one of the goats. We're going to watch The Wonder Years.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Because it's easily accessible right now. It's on Hulu/Disney+, wherever you're watching that stuff. And I went by the very scientific method of finding the lowest rated IMDb.
Mm-hmm. That is how I intended to do it. So that's
what you.
So we're gonna watch
objectively the worst
season 5, episode 7, titled "Soccer."
Okay.
Oh boy, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, The Wonder Years.
Yeah. Oh, so many thoughts, but I'm gonna save them. Next week. Yeah.
Next week, that's what we're doing. Kicking off the worst of the best. This is a fun category.
Which I'm gonna say backwards 800 times.
Sure.
Oh, sure. It's fine.
Yeah.
We know what we're actually talking about. Yes. The worst episode of the best TV. Ah, can't wait. That'll be a lot of fun. If you enjoy this show and you're listening to us and you want to hear us live, you can do that Monday nights, 9 p.m. Over at twitch.tv/twodorksTV. And check us out on the live stream and hang out in the chat with us. You can do that. And then the show comes out during the week, anywhere you get your podcasts. And it's always got such amazing artwork by Audi. And you really, like, nailed it. This episode is one of my favorites. It's so good. So that's what's coming up. I can't wait to see what the rest of us choose for our worst episodes of Best TV. It's going to be interesting. So keep an eye out and stay tuned for that. And also follow us on Twitter at Those Days Show. You can email us, thosewerethedaysshow@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about The Wonder Years. And if you watched this specific episode, the episode Soccer, what did you think of that one? Or do you have a favorite TV show that had a just god-awful episode? What was it? Tell us about it.
Yeah, please tell us.
Yeah.
We're very curious to know.
Please let us know, just for curiosity's sake and not at all, because then I won't have to pick one.
Pick one of yours.
And until then, for Audie, for Stephen, for Amy, this is Travis saying to watch your enjoy your classic TV and do a backflip off a horse.
Oh, yeah.